all kinds of hands here. Where should we start? I'm like, start with Tom.
Thank you. How would you characterize that? Maybe I'm totally wrong, but you know, we always hear about Pudvig, and I thought that was sort of worthy sacrifice. Maybe there's not an association there. Can you put the two in context?
You mean, is that like when Paul of Aleppo came from Syria to Russia in the 17th century, and he thought that the Russians must have legs of iron because they, of standing?
Yes.
I think that that can be very misunderstood. It's very interesting that Paul, coming from Syria at that time, almost wondered if that was the same religion. Often I wondered, does that mean there's something wrong with the religion in Syria, or did something get askewed in Russia, or a little bit of both? You know, like that he would make even a statement like that. It was unbearable for him, and he wrote great details. But this is 17th century. He wrote really, what's the word? Copious. Notes in his journal about his vision, and you know, it translates into this idea of what he experienced there was that of worship as Podvig, or I would even call it almost as a holy burden, and that led to, you know, a Russian expression which I don't know whether it's used today anymore. I know that it was by the whites and the first immigration, when they would speak about vigil, you would use the word. You know how everybody uses different words for liturgy? Like, I don't know, what do the Catholics say now? We're going to celebrate Mass? Is that what they're going to do? And that says something, doesn't it? Remember what they used to say, all you old-timers? What do they used to say? The priest is going to...
Say
Mass. That's very different. Now, and what do we say? We're going to
serve.
Serve. Yeah, we usually say that word. What are you going to say? What would you say about Vespers? We're going to what?
Vespers.
I don't know. I want to know what would you really say? You say, okay, let's go. We have to go over to the church now because we're going to
have.
That's interesting. Okay, have. Say, serve, celebrate. All of those words that we choose to say indicate something about what our attitude towards that is. Now, I don't know how, if you remember what the whites used to say about vigil, the word was, Mother Serafima, if you remember the anybody ever saying, they would say, Ya отстоял селишне.
I don't remember that, but I understand it certainly.
Yeah, can you translate that?
Well, I stood through it. It's not just I stood through, it's like I managed to stand through
it. Yeah, I endured it. Yeah, right.
I endured it.
And I thought that, and I thought, you know, that there's something askew here. Is it? Yeah.
I always thought liturgy meant the work of the people, and so my mindset is that I have to work when I get in there, and the work is to stay true to what's going on at the altar that I am worshiping. I am working at worshiping God, but y'all are using all these other words. It doesn't look like you're working. You're doing.
Yeah, boy, I wish we had all night. Now I'd like to talk about my trip. We just came back from Istanbul, and I forgot to bring the album because I wanted to talk about this little Greek monastery we visited. But when we had miracles every place we went. Like I had the most perfect vacation that could ever happen because. None of the places that we went to did things happen the way we either thought that they were going to happen or planned them to happen. It was absolutely amazing. Like, for example, when we got to the most The thing I was most anxious about was going to Bari, because our ship got into the port right at the time of the beginning of liturgy. And I thought to myself, you know, there are 3,000 people that want to get off this ship right now. And, you know, we're at the docks, and I don't know, you know, wherever the Basilica in Bari, they listed, you know, how many kilometers, like, away that it is. And I was worried, oh, you know, this is like my one time in the life I had to get. And then I read, you know, this, like, I pulled out my computer and Googled, like, you know, people's comments who had taken this particular excursion before. And they all said, oh, this line is notorious for being late into port, and they have no system for getting people off the boat. Like, sometimes it takes more than an hour to get 3,000 people, you know, down these gangplanks. And if we get in, and I thought, okay, if we get in a half hour late, it takes an hour, and then it's so many kilometers, like, just forget it. Well, you know, we got in early, and my wife was there with me. And so, you know, she told this Italian person who was in charge of all that, that, you know, the whole reason we planned this whole trip, it's true, it was not like, this was the most important thing in this whole trip we wanted to do, was to get to St. Nicholas. And here it is Sunday morning, and all of that. And so they as soon as that ship docked, before we even got, like, the immigration clearance, like, she just said, go. And off the gangplank we went, and we walked and made it to the church. Well, I'm thinking, okay, you know, as you know, it's a Norman basilica, and, you know, it's going to be a typical Catholic Sunday Mass and whatever. And we got into the area, like, right in front of the basilica. And, you know, I'm ready to charge in that door, and my wife says, listen to that. I said, listen to what? She said, listen to that singing. And, like, I hear, you could hear this, well, it's there's a Romanian parish right there, maybe like 100 feet away, like an 11th century church that was given to the Romanians, and they had just begun the Divine Liturgy. But what I want to say is that it was so participatory. Like, everyone in the congregation, it's a local parish, and, like, everyone was singing, and they were singing the antiphons and Holy God, and it was one of the most, she even, you know, recorded part of it, because she said it felt so much at home to us who came from the Carpatho-Russian experience of, like, everybody knew everything. Everybody knew the Sunday Tropars, and I mean, everybody knew everything, and it was, like she said, it was so unlike, like, if you went to some churches of other traditions, which would be absolutely non-participatory in that way, in which, you know, like, everybody would kind of stand there and looking very, very stoic, and certainly very, very silent, and you know, it was not like that at all. And why am I bringing that up?
Miracle.
Oh, but Podvik and Miracle. That community did not see worship as something to just stand through. It was very obvious. It was absolutely the joy and delight. There were lots of kids. There were old people. And it was really interesting. There was a great sermon preached. And it was all in Romanian. I didn't understand a word. But boy, I could tell it was a great sermon. Because I could tell and it was a priest older than I am preaching, who was, like, filled with energy and enthusiasm. And you could tell that everyone present was engaged with what he was saying, and vice versa. He was actually speaking to them, and they were listening to him. That's also sometimes, you know, it's not always that. That's not my experience, by the way. I have to honestly say that, and all joking aside, it's not my experience to do that. But anyhow, it doesn't have to be that way. But well, anyhow, since there are other hands up, let's move the, then Mother Sophia. Yeah.
I've always wondered, because I'm a convert, whenever I hear where it says, come let us worship and fall down before Christ, why we don't fall down? Why we don't?
Well, I have to say, I would say, you just opened the door for another wonderful digression about that, too. I'm standing, when the deacon says that, and he has the gospel book, and he goes in, and I'm free, and when I hear people, all the people sing that, I'm standing right in front of the reigning icon of Christ and the iconostasis, and, I say, oh, come, let us worship and fall down. And it's very, it seems to be the only natural thing is to make a metania before that icon. Since it's in the rubrics, I have to kiss the icon of Christ, the kissing icons on the left and right then. So I would say, from my experience, that I can't identify with that dilemma. But I want to say this is a great segue into what we're talking about. The first part of the liturgy, the anarxis, has a long, long history, and it has everything to do with the ataxis of Philotheos and the combination of the rites of the Great Church in Constantinople with Sabine Monastery. It has to do with why some people do the typical psalms and why some people do antiphons. And the antiphons are the older usage, I would say parish usages of some of the non-Slavic churches.
Antiphons.
Yeah, antiphons.
That's the form of the Constantinople, when they.
Mm-hmm. But I want to say the reason that the antiphons were the core of that anarchist is because of what they say. Especially the verses of the third antiphon, which people who do the antiphons don't hear. The very reason that they're done. The verses of the third antiphon. Come, let us rejoice in the Lord. Let us shout to God with loud songs of praise. And then the refrain, and then let us enter his presence with thanksgiving. And then there are five verses, five psalm verses, and the refrain is repeated five times. And then the deacon says, wisdom, let us attend. And then the response is the very next psalm verse in that psalm, which is, come, let us worship and fall down before him. Now, the very purpose of what I'm trying to say is that very often what we would do is most traditions would sing the refrains and not the psalm verses, and the connection between that and the come, let us worship is completely, absolutely lost. There's no sense. In fact, when we do matins in the morning, we usually will do Sunday antiphons. And to believe that there's a living precedence to do that, take a look in the epistle book. And take a look at the rubrics for the antiphons and the daily antiphons in the epistle book. And it will give them to you. And then it will also say, if it is Sunday, the third antiphon, the refrain is, O Son of God, who rose from the dead. It shows how conservative we are with the printing press, that it still gives both usages simultaneously of typica or antiphons. And what's interesting about that is, what I love to do is when we do the third antiphon, we usually do it as a responsorial psalm, and we'll maintain that right straight through, so that if we sing, let us enter his presence with thanksgiving, let us offer him loud songs of praise, O Son of God, who rose from the dead. But when the deacon says, let us attend, then the same precentor will sing, O come, let us worship and fall down before Christ, and the congregation sings, O Son of God, who rose from the dead, so that that makes sense. But it fulfills that whole psalm and anarchies. So that's what I guess what I mean by logiki latria. In that sense, things should make sense like that, right? Meaningful.